You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast. I'm Nick. No, Justin. No, Loy Sauce. No, anyone. I am here flying solo.
You're not my dad.
Yes, Lord. The God of Podcasting is here, though, on high above us. But yeah, flying solo today, ladies and gentlemen. This will be a little bit of a shorter, a little bit more compact show. Justin, unfortunately, threw his back out and is probably going to be laid up for a few days. So I first put out the word. I wanted a guest. I wanted to get a guest in here that had seen Alita Battle Angel, which is going to be the feature review on the show tonight. But then I was like, nah, because it'll be much easier to just edit myself and just put out the show as is. So stay tuned. It's going to be a wild and Nick-filled ride, and no Loy Sauce or Justin kinds of shenanigans whatsoever.
I want to see Kid get strangled.
Well, you heard the man. So yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This also marks the return of live Epic Film Guys. From now until at least the live stream for The Cure. I'd like to go after that, but hey, from now until the live stream for The Cure, live every single recording on twitch.tv/epicfilmguys. So please, please, please tune in over there if you haven't already. Follow the channel so that way you're ready for live stream for The Cure 3. Speaking of live stream for The Cure 3, remember May 17th through the 19th, 40 hours, ladies and gentlemen, 40 hours of live content coming your way from the Epic Film Guys, all to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute. 100%. And I actually got a couple messages about this over on Twitter, so I wanted to clarify this just in case you're new to the event, you're not sure what the event's about. 100% of proceeds, every single thing that we raise, every dime, goes to the Cancer Research Institute, and they in turn put 88 cents out of every dollar toward cancer research, immunotherapy research to cure all types of cancer. So just in case you're wondering, like I said, I did get some messages about that. We've got amazing podcast partners lined up for the show. Some first time, some returning.
I want to see Kid get stacked.
I don't see how that's helpful at all. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, so please, please, please head over to livestreamforthecure.com for more information. If you're a podcaster and you're listening to this and you have not signed up yet and you want to take part in the event, the link to the spreadsheet is right there. All you have to do is look, find an open slot that says featured programming block, and then get at me on Twitter or email livestreamforthecure@gmail.com, and I'll get you signed up. It's as simple as that. I'll send you all the welcome emails, the whole package. All right. Now, even though Justin's not here, and even though I'm flying solo, it wouldn't be the Epic Film Guys. And the show felt naked without it in January, because Justin was doing his 30 days, you know, keeping clean, keeping sober and everything, and really focusing on the gym. And I, in turn, maybe had a beer, some recordings, and then some I didn't. But the show is never really the same if we don't start off at the top of the show with a little thing that we like to call, "What are you drinking?"
I'm back! Puking rally!
Ladies and gentlemen, this past weekend I went up to near Buffalo and visited my good friend Bill and his wife Melissa, and one of the things we did when we were there, we went to 42 North Brewing. I actually picked this up the night before. I didn't even know we hadn't even gone there yet, but I picked up their Borderlands IPA. And this beer, you get a lot of tropical fruit. All their IPAs had a really, really kind of heavy tropical fruit thing going on, mango, some passion fruit, and pineapple. And then as far as IPAs goes, it's just, It's so nice. It's very fruit forward, and it's got a very, very kind of light bitterness. So if you're the kind of IPA person that doesn't like your super dank IPAs, like the one I had on the show last week more so, this one's probably more your speed, much more fruit forward. Like I said, you definitely get your tropical fruits in there, and you get some citrus. So this is a fantastic beer, and Justin's not drinking anything. I feel so bad for Justin. He messaged me a little bit earlier today, and he was just like, dude, actually it was yesterday. And he was just like, dude, I threw my back out. Like, he was laid up in bed pretty much all day today. He messaged me a little while ago and said, I can finally get up. I can finally move around. And, you know, all the best to Justin. We really, really hope that he's feeling better. And the sauce, meanwhile, our very own God of Podcasting is down at AlamoCon. I'm sure getting to watch trailers and parts of movies and whole movies that are months away from release yet. And he's going to tell Justin all about them. And then he's going to tell Justin not to tell anybody. And Justin's going to tell people anyway, because he always does. But yeah, it's wonderful. Everybody's off and busy. And like I said, I wanted something simple this week. I wanted to make it easy. I didn't want to go crazy with all of this nonsense. You know, I didn't want to go crazy with packing a show with guests, because it adds to my editing time. And nothing against any of the guests we've ever had. We've had some absolutely amazing guests. But I wanted to fly solo on this one. I wanted to ride it alone. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to ride over into a quick break for a podcast partner for the upcoming live stream for The Cure. When I come back, Alita Battle Angel, my review. Stay tuned.
Let's see, Alex. What do you think of Jaws, which is at 97% Rotten Tomatoes?
I find it to be anti-shark propaganda. What do you feel about the Entourage movie, which is at a meager 33%?
I think they finally got Hollywood right. How about It Follows, 97%?
Worse than your parents giving you the sex is evil talk. How do you feel about Juno, which is at 94%?
That would be a movie that celebrates a teenage homewrecker. How about Bewitched at 25%?
Best television adaptation ever put to film. How do you feel about American Hustle at a towering 93%?
Overwrought awards bait. Righteous Kill, 19%.
The movie that Michael Mann wishes he had made when he created Heat.
Sounds about right. I'm Julio.
I'm Alex, and we are the Contrarians.
As you can tell, our thing is that we rage against the Rotten Tomatoes machine,
regardless of what we really feel.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn,
Facebook, Twitter, we're everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very, very much for joining us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast, or for joining me, I should say. Please send out your best wishes to Justin over on the Facebook page, over on Twitter, over on Instagram, at Epic Film Guys when we post the episode, and I hope he gets back up on his feet soon, because it's not the same. It's not the same doing this without him, and I know he's super, super frustrated because he got a chance to see Alita Battle Angel at the Smithsonian, at the six-story 4K laser-projected IMAX, and I know he was blown away by the film, at least visually. And I'm sure we'll hear next week exactly what he thought about the film in terms of its content, but I really, really do wish that that he were here so he could talk about, you know, just kind of the film as a whole, just kind of how he felt about the film as a whole. But meanwhile, I am going to get into my thoughts on Alita Battle Angel. And right off the bat, I'm not going to push that rant button. You might expect me to, you might expect me to, but I'm not going to do it because I really kind of dug it. I've seen some reactions on social media. We've got your hot takes. We're going to get to your hot takes in the third segment here, but I really kind of dug it. Now, it's not perfect, and by far the weakest aspect of this film is the script and one performance in particular that I'm going to talk about as we talk about the film. But overall, especially visually, and even I saw this thing at AMC Vestal, which you guys know if you listen to the show, if you're longtime listeners especially, that I have nothing good ever really to say about, you know, the theater, because it's not that big of a format. The screens are older. Nothing ever looks kind of as good as other people get to see it, especially when they see things in larger formats. That said, the effects in this film are unbelievable. Just absolutely incredible. But I want to talk about just kind of the film overall, and then we'll get into a couple of different things review-wise. Basically, in the year 2500 and something, you know, hundreds of years after this huge war that basically turned Earth into a pseudo-post-apocalypse, it's not quite as post-apocalyptic as some of your other post-apocalyptic fare, but it's still definitely after, like, this huge war. And Dr. Dyson Ito, who's Christoph Waltz, who is asleep half the time in this film, sometimes he just shows up on screen and I feel like he didn't know he was supposed to be in a scene and wasn't prepared for it, and is just, like, seemingly super kind of uninterested. Other times he's really, really good. It's kind of a weird, weird performance, especially from Christoph Waltz, who's usually extremely solid. I don't know if maybe they had to do some reshoots and he just wasn't into it anymore. If he was just like, I've had enough of this or whatever. I don't know. But I love Christoph Waltz, so it's really, really tough for me to say that about him. But he finds this intact cyborg, like, torso and head that has a fully functioning human brain in it. So he takes it home and he grafts it onto the body of his deceased daughter. And names it Alita after his deceased daughter, and she has no memory of who she was before she ended up in said scrap heap. And she meets a character named Hugo, who's Keenan Johnson. Worst performance, probably going to make worst performances of the year list if we did a thing like that in the Epic Film Guys. We don't, but if we did, this performance would be on it. He's terrible, god awful terrible. It speaks volumes when your lead character is complete motion capture CG and emotes better and is a more emotionally investing character than one of your human characters who's actually there living and breathing on screen. It, like, he's terrible. He's so terrible. A lot of his line delivery is really, really flat, and it kind of affects the movie on the whole because you're supposed to buy into this chemistry between he and Alita, and sometimes it's like his dialogue is so cringe, you're like, ah, God. Yeah, you never really quite recover from it. And this film also stars Jennifer Connelly, who is unbelievably gorgeous. Unbelievably gorgeous. She's amazing. A relatively wasted Mahershala Ali. He is in a few scenes in the film, and he definitely looks menacing. If you've seen the trailers, he looks menacing, but they don't give him a whole lot to do. Same thing with Jennifer Connelly. Same thing really with Christoph Waltz, and that's why I'm going to come down harder on the film in a couple of areas, because there's this whole subplot between Christoph Waltz and Jennifer Connelly's characters, because they used to be husband and wife, and they want you to kind of care about it, and they stick it in, they like pepper it in, like pop, 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 little bits, little plot points here and there, but it never really sells the whole thing, like 100%. It never really sells it as a complete narrative. You know what I mean? It seems like an afterthought. It seems like, well, maybe they just shoved it in there like really quickly at the end to try to maybe get some more emotional resonance for the Alita character. It's just, it never really comes off, because you just don't get to see them really on screen together very much at all. They maybe share two scenes together, maybe for a minute of total screen time. Like, it's just an afterthought, it feels like. So wasted, but like I said, Jennifer Connelly is still just a goddess. Oh, my Lord. Mahershala Ali wasted, just completely and totally wasted in this film. This film could have done so much more with him, and I won't spoil exactly what they do with him in the film, but yeah, when you watch it, you'll be like, man, that's really all they got Mahershala to do? Really? One-time Academy Award winner. If, you know, the money is right, if what everybody's predicting is right for the Oscars, going to be a two-time Academy Award winner very soon. Like, really? Come on. You also get Ed Skrein as Zapan in the film. He's one of the bounty hunters in the film. You also get Jackie Haley, Rorschach of Watchmen, and among other things, as Groishka, who, if you've seen the trailers, is that like big hulking robot with like the little tentacle hand finger things that come out. And I'll say this again, the effects in this film are mind-blowingly good. Even in my presentation in AMC, I had to watch it in 3D. There were no 2D showings, none. So I had to watch it in 3D, but the 3D is actually pretty good. The action is actually really, really engaging. You kind of 100% get right on board with Alita from the get-go. Like, she is an absolutely amazing character. Rosa Salazar's motion capture and just the emotive performance that she gives 100% sell this character as a living, breathing character in this world. You never doubt it for a second. She's absolutely amazing. She is the emotional core of the film, and she 100% carries it. The script kind of forces you through a few plot points really, really quickly. Like, all of a sudden, there was one scene that takes place in a bar, and I won't spoil it past that, but there's one scene that takes place in a bar, and it really just seems like they just floored the throttle to try to get some plot ground covered really, really quickly. And it feels a little bit like, wait a minute, what? Whoa, what? Huh? It's got a few of those moments in it, but her performance is so good. She is so engaging. She's so magnetic. I was 100% sold on that character from the minute I walked into that theater and sat down and the credits began and everything. 100% sold on this character. She is amazing, and she's a badass. Like, she's this tiny, tiny little teenage girl. The character's meant to be like a teenage girl. Absolutely. You 100% buy that she's beaten the shit out of this giant hulking Russian robot. It's that good. It's great. And then, you know, in the trailers you've seen as well, but, you know, there's a port in the film where she upgrades to a different battle suit or whatever. And 100% believable how the whole thing plays off. There's also a sport in the film called Motorball, which they shoot like this round ball that has like a rocket propulsion thing on it out onto a track, and it races around a track, and you have to race around the track, and it's kind of a bloodbath sport. Like, they're mostly cyborgs that are racing in the film, but it's kind of a bloodbath because they're all just mutilating and obliterating each other in a variety of really, really nice, fun ways. So the motorball stuff is exhilarating. The action sequences are amazing. And it's just a gorgeous visual spectacle. I mean, again, you've got Robert Rodriguez in the chair, who is no stranger to visual spectacle. And you've got executive producing and co-writing the script of this thing, James Cameron, who, you know, this thing has been like kind of floating around in the wings. He's had the rights to this because this is a manga and an anime. He's had the rights to this thing for almost 20 years, like back to the early 2000s, but because of Avatar and because of, you know, a litany of other things, it got delayed, delayed, delayed because he wanted to wait for technology to look good. You know, I think when you think about the photorealistic CGI that they do in this film, I think of things like what Matt Reeves did in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes, especially, where you're 100% convinced that, you know, the effects are just that good that you're watching real apes that are talking and shooting guns and riding horses. This is kind of the same thing. It puts a living, breathing cyborg. I mean, she doesn't look real, quote unquote. She's got gigantic anime style eyes, which I love that aesthetic. Love that they incorporated that into the film. But she looks 100% a physical part of this universe. You never doubt it for a second. You never doubt it for a second. Like I said, I love the action sequences in this film. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And even though the script has its issues, and even though, like I said, you wasted a couple of really, really big name actors, and just Keenan Johnson, go away. My Lord. See the film because it leads into a sequel. Definitely leads into a sequel. This is definitely meant to be part of a series. And right now it's kind of hanging on the hooks of worldwide box office. It hasn't opened in China yet. It hasn't opened in a number of places in Europe yet. So it could still do really, really well. But go see this movie. It already beat expectations domestically. And I'm really, really hoping that this film has legs because it's just a visual feast. It's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, you see the trailer and it's like, it might not be for me necessarily. Give it a chance. It's not perfect. You got to go in with the right set of expectations. They can't be super high or you're going to be super let down. I was excited for the film and it didn't let me down in that regard. So I am going to throw a rating of 7 out of 10 on Alita Battle Angel. Like I said, it definitely has a few issues, but none that really, really restrict me from just spouting all sorts of love about just the action sequences. And I can't say enough how good Rosa Salazar's performance is as Alita. Think Andy Serkis as Gollum. Think Andy Serkis as Caesar in the Apes films in terms of an engrossing mocap performance where you're completely invested in that mocap character's journey. 100% pulled it off in this film. And if it did anything successfully, that was what it needed to do. And it succeeds very, very admirably. I can't wait to see what Justin thinks of this film. I'm pretty sure he really, really enjoyed it, but I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about what he thought about the film next week on the show. I was doing so well there for so long. It's just like, words are hard. I'm Keenan Johnson and I'm delivering lines. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. I'm going to take a quick break here for another podcast partner for the live stream for The Cure. Once again, mark those calendars, May 17th through the 19th. Please, please, please join us. It's going to be an absolutely amazing time. Stay tuned because on the other half of this break, we're going to get into your hot takes.
Brad.
I'm Justin.
And I'm the Cinema Maiden.
We are the Cinema Guys. We do a movie podcast. We're just three friends
who love to talk about movies and probably the best podcast you've ever heard about movies ever.
Or is it the best podcast you've never heard yet?
Ooh, but what if they have heard and they forgot that they heard and they have heard it before?
Then they should listen again.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
Real quick. Top favorite episode you've ever had of the Cinema Guys, go.
Aquaman. We make fun of Brad the whole time.
Oh, Aquaman was a good one.
Every other week we have a full episode where we give our top lists.
About usually a new movie. Usually
a new movie. Always. You know, we always give at-home recommendations at the very end.
But my favorite is our
fun
list.
Little banter in
I
between.
Think the lists are the best thing that we do.
Yeah. Our lists are fun.
I love to make lists about movies.
Just head over to wearethecinemaguys.com and you can subscribe, contact, listen to the show, all of that. As I always like to say, maybe sometime we will see you at the movies.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time for your hot takes.
It's too hot today.
And we are going to be going over to Facebook because that's where I posted for this week's hot takes, right on the Facebook page. Michael Cicchetti, amazing visuals, a few great one-liners, but dragged down by the forced romance and lack of complex world building. I would agree about the forced romance. I would disagree about the lack of complex world building. I don't think you need to cram a whole ton of stuff in here because we're very clearly getting a sequel, which is something that Tristan Schuler mentioned. He was annoyed that the entire movie was just setting up for a sequel. I disagree with that necessarily because there is still a very, very, very full character arc for Alita in this film, and that really was what it was trying to sell, was her as a character. DeMarcus Hamby said, good movie. 3D was underwhelming, but seeing in IMAX is a must. I wish. Our good friend, Destruction in Human Form, Jared Taylor. Jared, we love you. 7 out of 10. Great visuals and action. Some good performances. Generic story. Needs to be seen on a large screen. Robert Moreno, our resident kaiju expert, thought it was okay. Visuals are great. Story was cool. He said he doesn't know if he liked the sport they're playing. It reminded him of Rollerball. I'm not going to lie, Robert. I also had that same thought when I was watching it in the theater. Mercurio Osterman loved everything about it. Loved everything about it. Andy Campbell also loved it. And Joe Nanoski, who notoriously hates everything. Way more, you think I hate everything. Over on our Facebook page, one of our fans, Joe Nanoski, every time we post literally anything, trailer, news, whatever, he usually comments, meh, boring, stupid, I don't care, it looks dumb, whatever. Excellent film, he said. Excellent film. We finally found something that Joe Nanoski likes. I, for one, am shocked. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for getting back to us with your hot takes. We really, really appreciate it. Let us know what your hot takes are whenever we post out for them, and you just might get a shout out on the show. And that's it. That's all I've got for you guys tonight. I'm looking at my recording time, including a whole bunch of silence parts and including a whole bunch of other stuff I got to cut out. Only about 45 minutes. So, you know, without Justin here to kind of bounce off of, you get half of the length of the normal show, because we usually run about a 90-minute show. So, it is what it is. I really, really, really do appreciate everyone that's coming out, and I also appreciate everyone that came out on Twitch tonight and on Periscope and joined in the live stream. Again, we're going to be live broadcasting every single episode of the show between now and the live stream for The Cure, May 17th through the 19th. 40 hours of content, all to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be such a fun time, and we're going to have so many amazing, amazing guests like the podcast partners that you heard promos for during this show. So find us everywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Epic Film Guys. Find us on the podcatcher of your choice, Stitcher, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, where we're hosted. Thank you, Podbean. We love you. And again, if you're a podcast and you're listening to this, you want to be part of the live stream for The Cure, head over to livestreamforthecure.com to get more details on that. Next week will be our post-Oscars wrap-up show, and I know Justin's going to want to talk about all the films that he missed out on talking about this week. And we're going to have, I don't know, who knows what else as we roll into 2019 in film. If this is your first time listening, thank you. If you're a long-time listener, thank you. This is not a normal show. Usually there's another guy in here who's really loudmouth, and he likes to talk about all sorts of random stuff.
Hey, you over there!
He sounds kind of like that, but less hoarse and less drunk.
Hey!
There. Oh, I love my Hoekstra soundboard. But ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. So for myself, for Justin, and for the god of podcasting himself, have fun at Alamo Con Loy Sauce. Thank you all so, so much for listening. And until next time, we will see you at the movies. What are you drinking?
I'm back! You can run!
Oh, God. Yeah. I left the God filter on.
Remember!
I left...